Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, I read that Irma Bombeck was quoting a real, honest-to-goodness, real little boy who was trying to figure out the rules of life for little boys in a new school. And this particular little boy, his name was Donald, and he said this. He said, "My name is Donald, and I don't know anything. I have new underwear, but I didn't sleep last night because I'm worried. I have a loose tooth. What if the bell rings and a man yells, 'Where do you belong?' and I don't know? And what if the trays in the cafeteria are up too high for me to reach? And what if my loose tooth comes out in school and we have our heads down and we're supposed to be quiet? Am I supposed to bleed quietly? What if I splash water on my name tag and my name disappears and no one knows who I am? Some of that's kind of funny, but it's really not. A lot of us were taught as children to be nice, to be quiet, to sit down, don't move, and speak only if you are spoken to." I'm surprised I didn't get an amen from that. Sometimes that teaching takes a little too well, and the world passes you by while you are nice and quiet and sitting down and waiting to be spoken to. Now, there is such a thing as shy, and I definitely was that as a child. But the more I think of it, I also was sort of afraid to violate those rules, especially with my dad. But that's another sermon. Bartimaeus was blind back when people thought that blindness just might be a punishment from God. So people kind of kept their distance from him. Bartimaeus was blind and he was a beggar. Now, there were no schools back then, and there was no way for him to develop his talents or his intelligence. He was just pushed over to the edge somewhere and told to sit down, be nice, be quiet, don't move, and speak only if you're spoken to. Treated like a child. For Bartimaeus, it was even worse. You see, that is not his real name. That is a Hebrew description. Bar, some of you know, the bar in front of Bartimaeus simply means son of. And so Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. That's not his name. That's a description. And the description makes matters worse because Timaeus in Aramaic means unclean. Bartimaeus, the child of an unclean family. Could it get any worse for Bart? Blind, beggar, called by a name which is not his name, but which means son of an unclean man. So now you know the rest of the story, or really the first of the story, which makes the rest of the story more powerful. It was this man who violated all of the rules, and he grabbed at his one chance as Jesus passed nearby. He would not be ignored. He stood up and he faced the direction of the noise and the commotion, and he cried out with all of his might, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd yelled back. They said, "You son of an unclean man, don't you know the rules? Be nice, be quiet, sit down, don't move, and speak only if you're spoken to." They were saying, as rudely as possible, "Sit down and shut up." But Bartimaeus was determined not to let Jesus pass him by, and he cried out even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, folks, some of us are sitting down in our spirits, and we have disappeared ourselves into the background. We have merged with the wall paint, and we are sitting quietly, maybe politely, bleeding in our souls. And we have told ourselves, or perhaps we have been told, that we are unclean, that we are worth less than others, and we should just sit there and not move and wait until we are spoken to. But I'm saying today, I'm asking today, wait a minute. Have you not heard sometime God calling your name? Haven't you heard God calling your name? I know that you have, maybe in prayer, and maybe you ignored it, maybe in worship, and maybe you ignored it, or during the reading of one of Jesus' parables. Or maybe you saw yourself as a character in the parable. Maybe in this story, and I hope not, but maybe it was in the crowd yelling, "Shut up," to the outsider. Or maybe, and this is better, in the determined Bartimaeus, who just cannot take it quiet sitting anymore. Maybe you see yourself today as the one who wants more than anything to be healed of brokenness and silent suffering. Maybe you heard the words of Bartimaeus as I do, and sometimes when I read them, tears well up. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Make them your words. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What really speaks to me is the second time, or maybe the third time, or maybe the fourth time. In some translations, it says that Bartimaeus would not stop yelling. In some, it says he yelled all the more when the crowd told him to be quiet. Now, finally, though, in spite of the crowd telling him to stop it, to be quiet, to sit down, and countering all of that, Jesus tells the crowd to hush, and he's still and silent himself. He tells the crowd from way over there, call him to come here to me. And it's funny when you see the transition. Just think about this. In an instant, the obedient crowd, which really doesn't know what is right and what is wrong, they only know how to be a crowd, the crowd swaps. They change from full forward to full reverse. And now they say, instead of be quiet, they say, "Well, Bartimaeus, I guess you had reason to stand up and yell after all. He has spoken to you. Come on, we'll bring you to him." The outcast Bartimaeus, son of an unclean father, has the courage and determination and trust in Jesus, that Jesus is different from everybody else. Everyone else in his life had put him down, kept him down, and quiet. He trusted that Jesus was different, and Jesus was different. He asked for healing, and he got it. And even before Bart was healed of his physical blindness, he saw something in his soul about Jesus that even the sighted crowd missed, that Jesus was different. Jesus did not think and would not think him worth less and doomed always to be an outcast on the edge of the society. Jesus said, "Come here," and Jesus made him whole. Now Jesus still is making broken people whole. And Jesus still is calling marginal people to come here. Jesus is still very different than from what the crowd thinks he is. Jesus is not some extra cosmic large version of our parents. They were as broken as we are. They were sinners as we are. And they were just as crowd conscious and just repeating what other people say as we do. Jesus is different. Jesus came primarily not for physical healings. He did some physical healings, but they were to gather a crowd so that he could preach the kingdom and the new reality and the new creation that God was offering in him. He came for spiritual healing, for grace and for forgiveness and reunion with the God who we are estranged from by sin and selfishness, the God we are estranged from by fear and crowd consciousness. God is real. And God's character is best known by knowing Jesus. Remember that the next time you feel that little urge and want to ignore it because you're afraid. God is not scary like a big angry parent, nor is God defined by a big angry mob. God is like Jesus. And Bartimaeus trusted Jesus no matter what the crowd said. And you and I can trust Jesus no matter what the crowd says. Now, there is an ancient tradition called the Jesus Prayer. And the Jesus Prayer comes from this story and a few other stories like it in the Gospels. Now, some folks have criticized the Jesus Prayer for being way too Catholic, whatever that means. And some folks have criticized the Jesus Prayer for being too repetitive. But I noticed that Bartimaeus repeated until he got a response. Let the crowd yell if they want to. I find it meaningful to pray the Jesus Prayer sometimes over and over and over when no other words will do. Now, the Jesus Prayer is a bit expanded. It's been called the Gospel in miniature. It is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Try it. I'll wait. When I am absolutely overwhelmed, absolutely at the end of my rope, when the situation has forced me to sit down and agree like little Donald from that first story that I don't know anything, when I feel like that, nothing seems more appropriate than the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That same prayer in miniature has made it into our literature and into our liturgy and into our songs as the ancient Greek phrase, Kyrie eleison, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And even later in the Roman Catholic Church, when they Romanized and Latinized most everything, they retained the early Greek words in their original form here, Kyrie eleison. The cry is echoed and it has resonated through the ages. We know this cry. Lord, have mercy. We know this prayer. We have prayed it in emergency rooms. We have prayed it in hospital chapels. We have prayed it alone in the dark at night. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. I cannot live like this another moment. We may be praying it right now as we sit with practiced faces locked into an artificial smile. We may be bleeding quietly inside, hoping that no one will notice. Well, I'm here to say that Jesus is passing by. Jesus is nearby and Jesus notices. And I am ignoring the crowd today who says, Jim, don't do this. We're Methodists. We don't have altar calls except at scheduled events where people can avoid them. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the sermon God gave me today. Throw off your begging garments. Throw off your fear of the crowd, and you may pray where you are seated. Or during the closing hymn, you may come and pray at the altar. But just don't sit there quietly and ignore. God is nearby. Jesus is not a dead teacher who once was. He is not a mere symbol of our highest hopes. He is not a metaphor. Jesus is a present reality. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is present and as near as a prayer today. Are you going to just sit there again and pretend that you're not bleeding, not hurting, not yearning to come closer to the one who can make you whole? Pray with me before we sing. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.